All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every single week. And I say that, it's looking like there's not going to be a guest next week unless I get a response from someone. I'm going on holiday, so I don't think there's going to be one. But it's fine, because to end the streak of weekly podcasts, if it is the end, I'm joined with someone very, very cool. Someone who makes amazing content and has probably one of the most unique series or Minecraft series on YouTube at the moment. I am joined with Mogswamp.
What's up? How's it going?
I am great. How about yourself?
Not bad. I not getting much sleep as always, but other than that, great.
See, on the flip side, which is interesting that you say that, is I don't like sleeping much, like for a very long time. And I said this on my panel at TwitchCon. I was like, if you can just sleep for like 5 hours, like that's what I do. I just sleep for like 4 or 5 hours. For the last like 2 or 3 weeks, I've been so tired. So like I've been going to bed in about an hour from now, which tonight is going to be different, but like I've been going to bed like really early. I wake up early, but at the same time, it's like, it's so annoying because I don't want to be going to bed early, but I've been so tired.
It finally caught up to you. Years worth of sleep deficit finally.
Yeah, I guess. What about you? How come you've not been sleeping?
I've always been a night owl. I just like, I stay up later and later and later every night, just like naturally. I just love, I don't know, I become super productive, like especially after the sun goes down, but like even more so after like midnight, like 11 p.m. I just like, my creativity flows. I don't know, man. And so I always end up staying up later and later. And then, you know, I have obligations in the morning, and also like my cat wakes me up in the morning. Like, so just as I've gotten older, like my body just doesn't let me sleep in quite as much as I used to when I was like 20, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was like, it's not like that bad, you know what I mean? I still sleep pretty well, but I've been getting less sleep lately. Kind of like ever since doing YouTube full time, I would say.
I mean, that's like with me, with the whole waking up early thing, I can relate to that. Cause so for my job, I have to wake up at like 4:45 a.m. Today was different. I told you that I went into work last minute today. It's because I got called in, so I woke up at normal time, about 7:30, but like my body has been waking me up like during the night at like 4 a.m., like trying to get me up at 4 a.m., realizing that, oh, I don't have work. So like, for instance, I know tomorrow, because I'm off, I wake up about 4 a.m., my body will wake me up, realize I don't have work, and then go back to sleep to about 6 or 6:30, which is still super early, right? But like, because of getting up so early, I've just been, my body's kind of trained itself now to just not sleep in, which is good and bad. Like, bad because if I ever wanted to sleep in, I can't. But also really good because I get a lot more of my day now.
Yeah. I used to be able to sleep in like just all day as a teenager, especially. But like, yeah, even up until a few years ago, I feel like maybe it's just like part of getting older partly. Also, it's I really also think it's like a lot to do with my cat. Like, even if it's like subconscious, like he's just like meowing and like I have to like get up and feed him and stuff. And like, I just like subconsciously know I have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What cat do you have?
So his name is Miko.
Okay.
He was a stray. So it all happened a few years back. My brother was moving and he needed help. He got those like U-Haul pods. And so he needed help loading them. So I come over and we're working all night. And there's just this cat, like this stray cat who's like hanging out with us. He's so friendly. He's like so chill. And as the hours go by, like we're like, man, this cat's like really just not leaving. And the sun's going down. Like, we eventually get the boxes all packed up. Eventually, it's like 12:30 a.m., maybe like almost close to 1 a.m. And we're finally done. And the cat's still just like wanting to come inside. And so they were like leaving, obviously, because they were moving. So I was just like, all right, I'll just like take this cat. And like, I'm super allergic to cats. So I was like, I'm just going to like see if a coworker can take him or something like that. But he just like captured my heart. And I don't know, like, I don't know if this is how it works for everybody or what, but like, I'm just like not as allergic to cats anymore. I think like after about a month, my body just was like, all right, I have to live with this. And I can't just be like attacking myself every day or something. I don't know what happened, but like, it's funny because like still other people's cats sometimes get to me, but like, I'm like not allergic to Miko at all anymore, which is really nice.
I'm not saying this is the case for you, but I'm like, just based on your vibes, and again, I could just be assuming wrong, but it feels like I get this. Like, I feel like it's very much, like mind over matter thing as well. As in, like, when I say about your vibes, I'm assuming you probably believe in this stuff as well, and correct me if I'm wrong. Like, your mind is so strong to the point where you probably are still allergic, but because you love this cat so much, or love Miko so much, that your brain has kind of kicked into the gear to the point where you're still allergic, but you're less allergic. You know, it's like I work on Saturday and I got like a really bad stabbing pain in my chest. nothing, just a very quick stab and pain. Just, you know, how you sometimes get aches and pains. But then my coworker turns around and says, oh, that could be something bad. I Google it, see the symptoms, and then all of a sudden, half an hour later, I'm feeling really hot and I'm feeling really sick and I'm feeling really flushed because there's nothing wrong with me. Yeah. But because I've read what should be wrong with me, my brain's convinced me. And I think, you know, am I wrong in saying
placebo,
that you feel the same?
Placebo is super real. Placebo is super real. There's been like studies, like it's like a powerful effect, man. Like I think like people underestimate like how much power how much mind and body are intertwined, I guess. There's been a lot of studies on like placebo, and like it like does things that should be medically impossible. Do you know what I mean? Like if you tell someone that a pill is going to do a certain thing, like their body will react a certain way that like just wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? If you just told them this is a sugar pill, it's really interesting.
And the one trick where like they have the wall up and they put your hand on the other side of the wall and put a fake hand where you can see
the
pin into it, and you can feel the pain, but it's not actually, no one's touching you, but you can feel it.
Yeah, stuff like that is so interesting. I took psychology in high school. That was like the last time I learned about a lot of this stuff. So it's been a long time now, but geez, it's been like 10 years now. But so I had my 10-year high school anniversary. It was wild, dude.
I at the start of the year paid for a sociology and psychology course. Like it would have just been self-study to like lifing, because I had a moment for like a month and a half where I was going to pack in YouTube. But because of the podcast and because of like working as a barista, I've always found people really interesting. Because like, some of the stories I have from working in a coffee shop are insane. But also the podcast has made me like kind of talk to people and learn stuff about people like we're having now. And just general conversations has turned into a lot more now, which is great. So like I was going to study that, and I paid for the course and stuff. I just haven't got around to it. But I have 2 years, I have a bit of time left. There's not even anything to like pass. It's just to kind of learn more stuff. Like the test there was something that I taught, like learned myself. So little things like that.
Yeah.
Well, for the intro here, I know we're kind of past it now, but it's okay. I would like to give the introduction for you to introduce yourself. So who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact, either about yourself or something in general that you know, floor's yours.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm Mog Swamp. My real name is Eric. I'm 29 and I make Minecraft YouTube videos in my super flat world, which I've been doing. I started this channel in 2012, and I've been in the same world for all 13 years. So my goal is to make it at least 20 years in my super flat world, but likely I'm going to go even longer, to be honest, if I can. I'm just 20 is like the goal, but that doesn't mean it has to be the end point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you. It's not a hardcore world, is it?
No, it's not. So I've died like close to 300 times. I could check for you if you really wanted, but
I mean, yeah, you have the stats, but don't go out of your way.
Yeah, no, I should try and pull it up. It'll just take me a second to launch, but yeah, some of the stats are actually pretty wild, but they're not super accurate because basically my world predates per world statistics. So like I think back when I made my world, there was statistics in the game, but it was like for all of your worlds combined.
Oh, okay.
And then they added per world statistics at some point, but I'm not really sure like how that worked in terms of like merging with your old statistics or what. And then like that aside, my statistics have corrupted several times throughout the years, because if you have a world for this long, like it's pretty likely you're gonna have corruption, which is why I take a lot of backups and stuff. So my world is corrupted, I want to say like 4 or 5 times throughout the years, for various reasons, you know, unstable snapshots or mistakes on my end while copying the file, various stuff like that. And yeah, so my statistics have been reset a few times as well. So like I said, they're not super accurate, but they're still kind of fun to look at. But yeah, the point is, it's definitely not a hardcore world because I have died many times, and I finally have it open. Let's see, what is it, like deaths or what's it called?
I don't really play Minecraft, let alone vanilla Minecraft, but I think it's deaths, or like even if there's maybe just a respawn stat.
Number of deaths, there it is, 269 since the last time my statistics reset. So probably even more than that.
So probably about 330, 340, but maybe.
Yeah, like maybe like 500. You never know, because like back in the day, I think when I started, I probably died a lot more than I do now. Like I have like netherite and stuff. Like it's pretty rare that I die these days. Back when I started the world, I died all the time. Like I like for a long time, I even iron was like kind of a commodity, you know what I mean? Until I got like villager trading really, really well established. So like, yeah, I was just using crappy armor and tools, and I died all the time.
we'll talk a little bit more about your super flat world now, because we might as well get into it since we're talking about it. But I want to give you a fun fact. I want you to hear a fun fact of mine. So obviously you started content in 2012. Unless the date I have here is wrong, your super flat survival started on June 9th, 2012. So
yes, I think just that's
over
right.
13,
yeah.
Just over 13 years ago now. When you started your series, I was 9 years of age. So your series is now older than I was when you started it. By 4 years.
That's so wild.
Which is mental. Like that's the longevity of like your thing. And soon enough now, your world is gonna outlive the age I am, or the age you are, when recording this podcast, which is kind of crazy to think about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, yeah, I guess in a couple years my world will be older than I was when I started it, because I was 15 and then like I turned 16. My birthday is June 24th. So okay. I turned 16 like right after I started the world. Like technically the actual like world start date is like May 5th, I think, or May 7th. Can't remember. Okay. Because like it took me like a whole month to like figure out how to edit and like upload my first episode. So you can like see if you like go to the first episode, the upload date I think you had right is like June 9th, but then in the footage you can see like the date on the screen of me making the world. And it's I think it's like May 7th or something.
Let's see if I can see it. I'm trying to think if it shows the date. I don't know if it shows the date on her. Maybe I'm wrong.
Like right as I generate the world, there's like another one.
Oh wait, I just saw it. Wait. Oh yeah. So the fifth. So this one's. So the most recent one is the 5th of the 7th, 2012. So that was 4 days before. But so then there's other ones on like 5th of May.
In the US, it's like the backwards date.
Oh
so
yeah,
it's like,
7th of the 5th. Yeah, got you. I forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane to look at this though. The date being 2012. That's mental.
Dude,
it's crazy to think
so
how long
weird.
Minecraft has been around for. Right.
Yeah. That year was a wild year. 2012. Everybody was like low key worried the world was gonna end because of the Mayan calendar. So like, people were making songs about it and movies about it. It was what a time to be alive, you know.
And now 13 years later, you're on.
Not to mention Kony 2012. Man, there was just, what a wild year.
I can remember some of it, but obviously I can't relate too much because I was 9 years of age. So I'm not gonna lie and say, oh yeah, I remember everything. I do know some of the stuff about the world ending and stuff.
So,
yeah,
I was like right at that super like impressionable age, like freshman, sophomore year of high school, right in there.
Yeah. So with the super flat then, obviously you've done a lot of episodes now. You kind of used to do them back in 2012 in very classic Minecraft style for the time. Like you did Flatboard episode 22, like all that kind of jazz. So there's obviously you did more than just 22, but that's just the one I clicked on. But over the years and even more recently now, you've kind of changed the way the titles are formed. So like you're still making like super flat content, but like you've got How to Get Every Mob in Minecraft Super Flat being 3 years ago. I Built a Giant Creeper and Blew Up, I'm assuming, was also on your super flat world, and that was 3 years ago. But like you stopped numbering it about 4 years ago. You did Flat World episode 98 Spider Church, you did 99 Shore Chores, and then there was never a number 100 because obviously after that you started changing the titles. What was the deal with that?
So some of those were retroactive changes. I can't remember what the actual first one would have been that I like genuinely just did not put the episode number originally, because like basically I went back and changed like some of the more recent ones once I realized like, oh yeah, you should not put episode numbers in your titles. basically like, yeah, I was very kind of insulated in like all I really watched for Minecraft content was Hermitcraft, and they have the very like old school centric style of uploading with like I'm saying the numbers and stuff like that, and like the classic intro. And I think the issue with YouTube can be like you want to emulate your favorite creators, and so I was trying to do what they were doing, but the platform changes so quickly that things that work like 1 year genuinely won't work anymore in like 2 to 3 years. And I've already been doing this full time for 3 years, and I've already felt the tides shifting, so to speak, and like me having to change my style slightly to adapt. So I think it's really hard if you're like an aspiring YouTuber, because you have to be looking at who's doing well right now, who's popping off like literally at this very moment in time. Because if you're looking at your favorite YouTuber who popped off, you know, 5, 8, 10 years ago, the meta was very different back then. And like they got the bulk of their core audience, you know, hooked way back then. And they can just sort of like keep providing the content that their audience is used to for a long time. And they kind of like dominate that space in a certain way. Like at this point, old school style of Minecraft Let's Play is just very, very oversaturated. So then, you know, when I came up, the thing that was doing really well was the hardcore stuff, because I made videos for 10 years with very little success. I had like 5,000 subs. And then all of a sudden it all changed when I just like started making these changes to emulate what other people were doing at the time to pop off. And eventually I found my own voice and my own style, I think, with in that. But yeah, like at first I was kind of just looking at like what was doing well. Like you mentioned that creeper video, like way back, like I built a giant creeper and blew it up. That was like me trying to do like the very algorithm based stuff, and it was like pretty obviously like a failure. Like that's not one of my most successful videos, but like I was like it all starts there with like trying to figure out like what's working now, if that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, you can very clearly see, like, for instance, with this is like a two-part one I'm about to say. I feel like foreign time right now, MCSR is starting to blow up. Whereas like when I bought the podcasters on like a year and a half ago, MCSR was still quite big, but like it wasn't as big as it is now because a lot more people are getting into it. But like now, that's just my example of current day. But if we look at 2 years ago, for example, your most viewed videos, and it's very obvious to see because you uploaded them at the perfect time. Surviving 100 days on Just Dirt, 12 million views. This is a 100 days video. I survived 10 years in Minecraft Superflat, 4 movie. Again, that wasn't you specifically doing that for the times, because you started back in 2012. But it was the perfect time to upload it 3 years ago. Surviving 200 days on Just Dirt, 4.6 million. You know, like you were doing the 100 days content. I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I feel like you did a Minecraft butt video at one point as well, because you were perfectly fitting with the times.
Yeah, I think I like might have framed one that way, because like a lot of it, like my approach to YouTube is like I'm kind of stubborn and I want to do the ideas that I want to do. So like there are some people who will just figure out the most optimal thumbnail and title and go make that video. But I kind of take this other approach where I have an idea that I really want to do, and then I try to figure out a way to frame it very, very optimally for the algorithm so that I can get away with doing my crazy fun idea that I want to do. And also I think like part of the reason I've taken that approach is because when I've tried to do the purely algorithm based approach, it hasn't worked very well for me, like the creeper one, because like, you know, some people are really good at that. But I think like part of what makes my videos good is more like my passion and enthusiasm. And I think it's hard to fake, like, I don't know, it's hard to fake that. Some people like just genuinely don't care and like are just having fun playing the game, like no matter what. I'm kind of picky. Like I am. I'm like kind of a weird and picky player. Like that's, you know, if you couldn't tell, I play in Superflat. Like I'm just kind of like picky about how I like to play the game and how I like to have fun with it. So I think that comes through in the videos. And if I'm not playing in a way that is fun for me, I think like people can sort of tell, and those videos just tend to perform a little worse. So like, yeah, I think everybody has a different approach, but yeah, that's sort of my approach, is like how can I do this thing I really want to do, but like actually get it to to get views so that I can put food on the table.
I get it though, because like especially like you said, you've been doing it full time for the last 3 years. I've had this conversation on the podcast a few times, and I said like realistically speaking, with Inside MC, I could very easily make content that works, right? Like one of my most recent videos at the time of recording this podcast is titled "What If Parkour Civilization Was Minecraft's Fastest Players," right? And that's 10,000 views. It's not doing crazy amazing, but like if I constantly uploaded videos in the form of that one, you know, it matched the algorithm niche, but secondly, there's also a certain way that we could have edited that video to probably be a little bit better than it was. But like luckily, because I work a full-time job, as much as I want to make YouTube a full-time gig, I also don't want to do what works. you know, like, I know it sounds weird to say, but like, I like the podcast. I like this, just like having a sit down and having a conversation with you. But if I wanted to really optimize this right now, it realistically speaking, it'd be better to ask you a question, you answer, I ask you a next question, like my Inside the Video series, right? But realistically speaking, I don't want to do that. I want to just be able to sit down, have a conversation with you, start a podcast talking about allergies and placebo effects, and then move into your super flat world. You know, like, that's just something that, like, you know, sadly isn't algorithm friendly, but also I enjoy it. So
yeah, and they're like, and like, even with that example, I feel like there are ways where you can try to sort of trick people into watching it. You know, I think like Colin and Samir have done a decent job, like with some of their interviews, sort of framing them in a way that it almost seems like a normal video, and then you just sort of find yourself in a podcast, and if the intro to the podcast is pretty solid, then you just end up watching it. And like, so yeah, I think there's like a lot of people are like a little too stubborn, I think, and I was that way for a long time. I was like, no, I just want to be doing exactly what I want to do, and I had to like kind of suck it up at a certain point, because I think, like, I don't know, all art at the end of the day is for an audience, like almost no matter what. Like, people really like to romanticize being an artist and like being purely creative and like all this stuff, but like, to be an artist in a capitalist world, like, you simply have to appeal to an audience. Like, that is the only way to make a living as an artist. And I see, maybe it's like heady or whatever, but I see like all YouTubers as artists. I think like making videos is a form of art for sure.
No, I get you. Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah, I think to make it as like a creative or an artist, you have to take into account audience, and you just like have to figure out what is that perfect balance of like what you want to do and what people will watch that you can live with. And for everybody, that line is like a little bit different, you know what I mean? But I feel like I've found it, like, because I really love doing my videos. I'm really, really passionate about them, and I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything when I'm making them, you know what I mean? Like, I'm making pretty much exactly what I want to be making. I just like have to spend a lot of time thinking about how I can frame it.
Yeah, no, exactly. To be fair, I know you weren't really talking about me specifically, but like, you know, I feel like with the podcast, and I know you said about that like they did it really good, which 100%, but at the same time, I just feel like as a niche, like, podcast specifically is a little bit harder. But also, like, I'm not,
no, 100%, like, podcasts are kind of their own game, because like, yeah, I don't know, podcasts, like, I wouldn't say I truly understand yet, because like, it's definitely a different format from videos, because most people aren't necessarily watching, and so like a lot of the video meta has to do with visuals and has to do with, like, you know, flashy moments and moments of rest, and like when you're having bouncy subtitles and people's faces and stuff, like all the tricks that apply to videos just like don't exist in the podcast realm. So I definitely wouldn't pretend that I like really understand it. It's kind of a whole different meta. I just like was shouting out, like, I have seen like them sort of do like the YouTube optimization thing with a podcast format, but yeah, I haven't seen a lot of people do it, like, and the most successful podcasts don't seem to do that at all, you know what I mean?
But the most successful podcasts are from creators who are already big, you know, right? Like one, like
The Yard, know, like, or yeah,
one,
yeah,
one,
yeah,
I always think of is like Impulsive, for instance. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, like, fair play to them, but also it just come from Logan Paul being big. The person who got me into content creation was Jackmate. Like, sorry, not content creation, into podcast was Jackmate. He's a British YouTuber who owns a podcast called Jackmate Happy Hour. Like, that's his only thing now. He doesn't do any content, at least from as far as I'm aware, doesn't really do any content on his Jackmate channel, but he grew his Jackmate channel, got a big audience, started the podcast about 4 or 5 years ago, and that's the biggest thing. And it's like, I don't, like, that's the thing. At the end of the day, right, I'm not dying for content creation to be like a full-time gig. I have a job, I have finances, I have income, I'm quite happy. But at the same time, you know, like, if it gets to a point where like I really want to make it big, like, then I can start optimizing and start doing stuff that I think works. But for now, like, I'm slowly doing that with the other videos, but I just, you know, I just want to have sit down and have a nice chat like this. This is what makes me happy, and this is what keeps me motivated. So
yeah, I will say, like, I definitely like had to sacrifice a lot during the time when I was working a 9-to-5 in order to get this full-time gig on YouTube. Like, it was pretty grueling, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it is like working two full-time jobs, because like, to like, basically what happened was, like, I had a few videos do well over the years here and there. Like, I had a Minecraft build tricks video from like 12 years ago that did pretty okay. okay. I had like a parody song that I did that did all right. So like I had some videos here and there that did like okay on my channel, but I never really like followed them up with like another really like good upload. Like it was always just like back to the normal routine, right? And so like I would have these breakout videos, but then like the next video I uploaded wouldn't really appeal to that same audience, and like it would just never go anywhere. And finally, like 10 years in, I had a video do well, which was my world tour. I did like a 9-year world tour, and weirdly it blew up like 6 months after I uploaded it. It was like around New Year's 2022. And at this point, like in the past when my videos had sort of blown up, I was still like in school and like, I don't know, just not as desperate, I would say. But at this point, I had been working like a 9-to-5 for like quite a few years, and I was done. I cannot exist in that environment, I think. And I'm really bad at like just like listening to authority for the sake of it. You know what I mean? Like the whole hierarchy thing just kind of breaks my brain. Yeah, like I'm just really not built for it, right? I don't think like anyone's like, well, maybe some people, but some anyways, I digress. I digress. I was very desperate to make it out of like that 9-to-5 lifestyle. And so as soon as that video started doing well, I was basically like, okay, no friends, no, like, I'm like not even gonna like fully take care of myself. It was just like, I am going to full commit to like, I wake up, I go to work, I get home, I clock in at my second job of YouTube, I work till 3 a.m., I go to sleep, repeat for like 4 or 5 months until I quit my job. And like, cause I was just like, I'm going to full commit. Like, I knew I had to just like full send it.
So my content arc started, and I'm glad I'm not known for this anymore, cause I don't wanna be. When I first started making content under the Insane Orbits name, which I just don't upload on my channel anymore, I started with command block tutorials on Minecraft Bedrock Edition, and they were really good. Like in my early years, like I gained 30k subscribers really, really quickly. I was earning about £300-400 a month just from tutorial videos, and realistically speaking, as I was growing, I was earning more money, so you know, it was working. But at the same time, I sat down one day and I was like, I really just don't want this to be my content. Like, it works and it's earning me money, and really, and I've said this before, and it may sound egotistical, but it's true based on the stats. I could very easily have a silver play button by now, right? If I just locked in and carried on doing command block tutorials. But then I remember turning around and being like, I just want to grow my content on personality, because I've always been, as you can kind of tell by the whole podcast thing, I'm really chatty. My nickname in primary school was Chatterbox Charlie for a reason, and like, you know,
so I love
like,
that. That's so sick.
I wish I came up with it, but it's like, because of that, you know, I've kind of embraced our podcast thing, and like, you know, I earn 65p a day now. I went from earning £500-600 a month to earning 65p a day. But also, I wouldn't change it for the world, because, you know, like, I've got like, I wouldn't be sitting down talking to you right now. My thing is always wanting to talk to creators, not from like I want to talk to these big creators for like an ego thing. I just always wanted to have the opportunity to just interview people, and I sacrificed the money for the passion, and you know, that's why we're here today, and I'm happy with that. You know, I'm satisfied. So
no, I think it's pretty sick that there's like a Minecraft, like there's not a ton of them, right? There's not a ton of Minecraft podcasts.
There's the Spawn Chunks, there's the Withering Effect. The only two like biggish ones I can really think of.
And I was like going through your catalog, and you had like a huge range of like maybe probably the most range of creators that I've seen on any of them. So I was like it's kind of cool to just like have an archive of like a candid conversation with like basically everybody in the scene, because like I don't know, it's just fun. Like I know most people at this point after a couple Twitch cons, vid cons, and just like playing on SMPs with voice mod and stuff like that. I feel like I've like talked to like most corners of the Minecraft community, and it's just like cool seeing like all those familiar faces. I was like, oh, this is awesome, man.
Thank you. Well, to kind of put that into perspective, what you're saying, and I said this on previous podcasts, like I want Inside MC to be an archive for the future. I want you to sit back and listen to this in like 10 years time or whatever and be like, damn, like, you know, I was 13 years into my super flat world, this happened, this is what Minecraft had for me to do, and then now 10 years later, all of this stuff. And like, to put that into perspective, I think it was 11 years ago or 12 years ago, Sneak Snag commented on your video.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, let me find it.
Wait, what?
Hold up, I'm about to tell you a fun little fact here. And this is why I love this. So in let me find a screenshot. I have it here somewhere. Yeah, so not that one. This one. So 11 years ago, Sneaksnag commented on your video. I don't know what video it was. The analogy with the stock market crash is actually freaking accurate. Clearly not as devastating to mass amounts of people, but how one leg fell off the table when the whole thing fell apart basically sums up what happened pretty nicely. You replied, yeah, I was very proud of myself when I thought of it. Sneaksag replies, Mogswamp, I'm a junior taking US history, so I just recently passed that time period. And you replied to it 3 years ago, saying, Sneaksag, just got a comment pointing out that you blew up since you left this comment. I used to see your name around in the comments all the time. Very cool.
I forgot about this completely.
And this is why the podcast exists, so you can remind yourself when you listen to this in the future.
Yeah, no, we definitely DM'd about it too. Like, at the time, it was like a year or two ago when we figured this out. Sneaksag and I DM'd about it. It's all coming back to me, dude. It's all coming back to me. Dude, one thing I've realized is, like, I have, like, a horrible, horrible memory.
Well, to be fair, this one's kind of hard to remember, so I don't put it past you.
No, but, like, there are several people now who I have interacted with, like, maybe, like, around that time period, like, 10 plus years ago, who, like, have become creators as well. Like, another example is Terrace HD. We had cross paths a bunch in the back in the day, and yeah, he's now a big creator. And then, yeah, there's a few other names as well, but they're not coming to mind, like, right off the top of my head. But
yeah.
it's happened like 3 or 4 times now, which is just wild.
I mean, it's kind of like the same with so the podcast I last recorded, the one before that was with Jerome ASF, and it's like, it was kind of just insane to me, sorry to talk about another creator on your podcast here, but like, it was just insane to me to kind of sit down and like interview them when they were one of the people I grew up watching. Like, I there's very high chance that I saw one of your videos when I was younger. Like, I watched a lot of Minecraft when I was a child, so there must have been a point where I saw one of your videos. So, and obviously I can't confirm that, but it's kind of insane now to be sitting down with you. And if I did watch your videos when I was 13 years of age, like, you know, 9 years ago, to now be sitting on the podcast with you 9 years later talking to you about the videos that I watched, it's kind of mental, really.
Yeah, it is a funny moment. I was in London because got invited to the Minecraft red carpet for the movie premiere, and
I was in the stands.
Oh, no way, that's so funny. Yeah, I was there, and so I'm on the bus over to the red carpet, and I'm sat next to Merrick Hanna, and I just, like, hadn't really looked closely at where I sat on the bus. Like, I was just kind of, like, in my own world, taking it all in. I was, like, also, like, in a tux, so I was probably, like, fiddling with my sleeves or something, right? So, like, I'm sitting next to Merrick Hanna, we get talking about, like, just inspirations, and we both start bonding over the fact that we both, like, started learning motion graphics because of Mumbo Jumbo's old, like, intros, which were very, like, motion graphics-y. Like, they were, like, done in, like, After Effects, and all of a sudden, like, Mumbo just, like, chirps up. He was, like, sitting right behind us. Like, literally the cartoon moment. Like, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he? and so, but it was so funny. He was, like, he said, like, dude, that's so weird. Like, because Mumbo was, like, I've had people say I've inspired them in Minecraft. I've inspired them with Redstone. I've inspired them with video, even, because I know he's, like, uploaded some stuff about, like, you know, cinematography, and he's done, like, I think Herschel's or something like that. But he was like, I've never gotten the motion graphics one, and to get it twice in one day and hear it happen in front of me on a bus is really strange. it was a really funny moment. Anyways, that was very surreal for me, because I was, like, literally having a conversation about how this dude inspired me when I was 15, and he was sitting right behind me. But yeah, because I basically, Mumbo's, like, my same age, and I knew that at the time. I had, like, looked it up, and I was like, wow, if another kid my age can do it, like, so can I. And it, like, kind of inspired me to, like, start picking up motion graphics more seriously for my videos.
That's kind of been, like, I mean, actually, sorry, building on that here, what was the Minecraft movie premiere like?
Dude, it was wild. I have a whole, like, story time that I did on my second channel, like, because I made a whole PowerPoint because it was such, like, a journey that I was like, I can't even, like, just talk about this, like, I need, like, visual aid. But yeah, we got flown out to London. It was a really, really nice place. They brought out the cast of the movie, so we, like, got to meet Jack Black and Jason Momoa and all them. That was pretty crazy. There was a party with the like Mojang staff, like, on a rooftop, which was wild. I got to meet Jeb, and that was another, speaking of surreal moments, that was a very surreal moment because Jeb created Superflat. So I basically got to thank him for my career and be like, I appreciate you for doing that. It's kind of my whole thing. So that was pretty awesome. He's so cool, by the way. Like, literal, like, talk about aura. Just, like, maximum aura. Dude is a rock star. I just, like, I don't know. There's something about him. And then, yeah, just, like, chilling with a bunch of creators that I really, really admire and respect. Just, like, a really, like, very, very surreal, like, you finally made it moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, like, definitely gonna be, like, one of the highlights of my life, you know, when I look back on it all. I think that's gonna be one of the moments for sure.
So the way I got access to the red carpet is I actually tried reaching out to be one of the media team, because like Inside MC interviews, you know, my hopes weren't too high, but I was like, you know what, I'm a Minecraft podcast, I do interview people, I want to be there to interview people, right?
Oh dude, like so much of this like industry is just like shooting your shot.
Yeah,
you never know.
I didn't succeed, sadly, but it's okay, because I actually did end up like scheduling interviews. So like I had one with SB737, I had one with CPK, like, which were meant to happen on the red carpet, right? They were just meant to come past, you know, all that kind of jazz. So where all the content creators came in, it was fairly empty, and a lot of people who were on that side didn't really know who the content creators were, because I was looking over the entire time and they didn't really stop much. I got on the other side where it's all like the actors coming in, which was cool, because you know I got a picture with Jeb,
got it,
my Momo and stuff, but like, not to be rude, didn't really care that much. Like, so I just won tickets. I won, like, both me and my partner won tickets, so we bought 2+1s with us, so there was 4 of us there. I ended up bumping into a content creator friend from my past called GM19, who like, he just turned around, he was like, wait, sorry mate. I was like, yeah. He's like, are you Insane Orbits? And I went, yeah. And he went, I'm GM19. I went, oh my god, what? So that was crazy, dude. But I was just on the opposite side to everyone, so I didn't get to do any of the interviews, sadly. So that was my experience with the red carpet.
Yeah, it was chaos, I'm not gonna lie. Like, the actual red carpet, they like shuffled us out, and like I went first, and then like I think the like Glambot kind of like broke down for a second. It was like a kind of like a like not a real Glambot. It was like just like some like PVC like arm with a phone on the end, basically. But it was like, it was cute. And then so like I did that first, but then it like wasn't working or something, or there was some holdup, and like they were trying to shuffle everybody along. But like I didn't want to go alone, so I was just like loitering for the longest time. And then Captain Sparkles and Tommy Innit were doing like a live stream on the red carpet type of thing. They're interviewing some of the cast and crew, like separate from like the official Warner Brothers live stream. And they pulled me up onto that for like a minute, because they like needed to stall until the director got there. So that was kind of cool. I got to go on that and like do my little red carpet interview. But yeah, it was pretty chaotic. Like, I was just like getting shuffled around from place to place, like where do I go? And then yeah, they eventually, we all went to the theater, and they brought out like the cast again, which was kind of fun, just to like say a few words before the movie started. And then
I was just gonna say it's a loop, but I finished what you were saying, Quiddy, sorry, because I was gonna move on from this. I just wanted to hear the rest of it, apologies.
I was just basically gonna say it was a fun time. It was a goofy movie.
Fair enough. I was gonna say, sorry, to loop back to the Super Flat thing, because I realized you kind of spiraled away from it a little bit. Why did you decide to start the Super Flat series?
I think I saw it on Reddit. I used to go on R Minecraft like a lot back in the day, back when it wasn't a cesspool. I don't know, maybe they've cleaned it up by now, but back in the day, like Reddit was pretty popping, you know. Our Minecraft was like one of the bigger subreddits, and I used to go on there all the time. And yeah, I think right when Superflat first got introduced, like a few people on the subreddit had like shown like, hey, like check out my survival Superflat run. Like, it was kind of just like a little mini challenge, you know. People realized like, oh, you can actually like have like a little mini run, like the same way people do for all sorts of like, anytime Mojang adds a new world or anything, you know what I mean? People are like, oh, can you beat this? And so I was watching Ethos Lab at the time. I was like super inspired by that. I had always wanted to do YouTube. Like, I had been uploading YouTube videos since 2007 on a different channel. I had a couple channels, actually. I was doing like skits on one, I was doing like dominoes and stuff on another, and then finally I was like, okay, I want to do Minecraft. I was like super inspired by Ethos Lab, and I was like, well, no one else on YouTube has a flat world. Like, I did have the smarts back then to recognize like you did need like something to stand out, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, the way I'm gonna stand out is by by being like the super flat guy. And yeah, so that kind of actually like worked a little bit. Like the scene was a little bit smaller back then. And like, I say I wasn't that successful. Like I only had a couple thousand subs, but like back then that kind of was like, that meant a little more than it means now. I think like I was on a couple SMPs with some like bigger creators and stuff like that. Like I think a few people in the community kind of like had seen my videos type of thing. And so, yeah, like it kind of did pay off, like doing the whole super flat niche. And then obviously like now it paid off big time 10 years later, because now like everybody's like, oh, Mogswap, the super flat guy. And it's just like a really good like branding thing essentially. But yeah, so that even it worked in the beginning, but just not to the same scale as it worked 10 years later, if that makes sense.
I think that's the problem though, right? And not you specifically here, but a lot of people just want instant success. Like if they don't do, but like I've been doing the podcast for 3 years now, and like I've only really started getting like the quote unquote bigger creators on. Like people think like if you start a project within the last first like 5 months, if it doesn't do well, then it's like not a good thing. Whereas like, I mean, yeah. You, it took 10 years. Like you've had this original concept for 10 years. Like you said, yeah. I can't think of anyone else who really does a super flat world, and especially to the extent that you've done it. But it's taken this long for you to get somewhere with it. And now look, you've been doing content creation full time for the last 3 years.
Well, and the other thing about super flat that drew me to it is like, I grew up, like my favorite games have always been sandbox games, like Zoo Tycoon, Roller Coaster Tycoon, any sort of game where like you sort of like create your own world, you can express your creativity in the game. I'm just like not that great at like video games, so like RPGs were always a little bit harder for me, stuff like that. And so yeah, my favorite games were always the sandbox ones, and like my favorite way to play Roller Coaster Tycoon, because if you're familiar with the game, like there's always like two versions of those games. You can either do like the campaign, which is like there's real world money and you have to manage your park, and you're usually like taking over an existing terrain with like half of a park built, and you have to like kind of rescue it. Like that is for people who like want to do like the economic strategy side of the game, which just did not interest me as a kid. The other side of the game is like sandbox mode, and it's like flat terrain, nothing on it, infinite money, no like consequences, basically. Like basically the equivalent of like creative super flat mode. And so like, I don't know, the whole like thing with me was like I had a few survival worlds, but I just like couldn't really stick with them. And I just like something about the terrain already existing like demotivates me. Like I want to do it all myself. Terraforming has like always been my favorite aspect of the game. And so yeah, from the beginning I was just like really attracted to the idea of like, okay, I still have to like get the resources and stuff. Like it's not creative, but it is flat. Like everything you see was built by me. And I think part of the reason that Superflat took 10 years to pay off is because like in the beginning it's just like, oh, it's kind of a fun challenge. It's not very interesting beyond that. But when it has the time to build and you can show someone 13 years of progress on a super flat world, it becomes like mind numbing, because unlike with a normal world where the boundaries between what was originally there and what the player built are kind of blurred and it's a little bit hard to tell what's what, on a super flat world, it is crystal clear. Like this was three layers of dirt and nothing else. And everything I see was put there by Mogswap. So it's like really, really tangible and visual. It's like, oh my God, like every single block I'm seeing that guy placed there by hand. There was nothing there originally, in a way that like I said, you just can't really tell in that same way with vanilla Minecraft like worlds. And then the other aspect of Superflat, not to just yap forever,
please go on, it's interesting.
As the game updates, like the reason people start new worlds is because like new biomes get added, new structures get added. Eventually your world file is like insanely big, right? With Superflat, like we have had some minor updates and like structures appear over the years, but for the most part, like there's just no reason to ever have to explore. You're just not getting those new biomes, those new, like there's no reason to have to go further and further. So the world file stays nice and small. There's no reason to ever start a new world because like you don't want to have to travel thousands of blocks for the new content. It's just not a factor. So like I think all of these things like create this perfect storm where like Superflat worlds are just really great for having like a forever world. And yeah, it's definitely not for everybody, but I love the challenge of it.
How God, this is probably going to lead you into a big conversation again. So apologies. It's such a trappy question. It's not direct. It's a good question, but it's not a direct question, so it's hard. But feel free to answer this however you want. How do you do stuff? Like, you know, like, for instance, like, I did this like little stream challenge one time, beating the game in beating the game in Superflat, right? Where, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the end portal always spawns in the exact same chords or something, no matter the Superflat world you're on. I can't remember the facts off the top of my head. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so like, how have you done half the stuff you've done? Like, how do you get your materials? How do you do this? How do you do that? Like, it's, you
know, like, it's actually so crazy, because when I first started playing, like, it was only meant to be a short series because the ceiling was pretty low. Like, at the time, the villagers existed in the game, but there wasn't villager trading yet. So you couldn't get very far. Like, you could get stone tools, you could, like, build a house, like, get wood. So basically, like, all you could really do was, like, make a cobblestone generator for, like, stone, get infinite wood, and, like, go to the Nether. And, like, after that, like, things kind of started capping out. And then that all sort of changed when they added villager trading, and all of a sudden you could make iron golem farms. So it was the Iron Age. And then from the villagers, you could now get, like, redstone, which was a huge thing, because, like, redstone unlocks, like, everything. Because yeah. At that point, you can, like, start automating farms and, like, doing other stuff like that. And then it also unlocks lapis, which eventually you needed for enchanting. And basically, you couldn't get diamonds from anything but blacksmith chests, so they were, like, ultra rare. But then all of a sudden, you could get diamond tools and armor from villagers, so you didn't need raw diamonds. So, like, everything changed when villagers got added. And you basically could do a lot of the stuff you could do in the normal game. For a long time, one of the biggest limitations was, like, you could only use oak wood, which was pretty sad, because they were adding, like, okay, now there's spruce, now there's birch, now there's, like, and I was just, like, in the corner, like, oh man. And then I guess the next, like, quantum leap came in 1.14 when the Wandering Trader was added. So, like, for a long time, like, I'm talking, like, from when villagers were added all the way to when the Wandering Trader was added, like, Superflat did not get much. And that was a period of, I want to say, like, 5 years-ish. It's kind of like the dark ages of Superflat, but it perfectly coincided with when I went off to college and was kind of too busy to play for 4 years. I put out, like, maybe one episode a year, because I was, like, every summer I would, like, log into my Flat World all motivated to play, and then, like, inevitably the summer would fly by because I was working, and then I'd get out, like, one episode, and then everybody in the comments would meme, like, all right, see you next year. so that, like, became a pattern for a while. But, like, then what really revitalized the series was 1.14, the Wandering Trader. All of a sudden, like, you could get sand, for example, which was, like, that was big, because that was, like, TNT. You could now plant cactus and get green dye, which you could never get before, like, an entire color unlocked. All the wood types were unlocked through Wandering Trader. Like, there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, it was crazy big drop. And then a couple years later, when they added the Nether update, not only did all the Nether stuff apply to Superflat, which was super fun, because, like, you can obviously get to the Nether. So all that applied to Superflat, which, like, piglin bartering brought a bunch of new stuff. But also, in 1.16.2, 1.16.4, I think it's 1.16.4. That was the first time there was a bug where the strongholds would generate in Superflat. And back then it was kind of weird, because they would only generate new Superflat worlds, not old ones. And you could not use the Eye of Ender or, like, the locate command at all. They were, like, just, like, the game did not recognize them as existing. So I was kind of locked out, because my Superflat world was old. My viewers at the time decided to allow me to, like, regenerate chunks, basically, in order to get one, which was basically paste my world over itself onto a new copy of a Superflat world of the same seed, is kind of how it worked. But little did I know, a couple updates later in 1.18.2, all the structures would basically come to old Superflat worlds, so that includes strongholds. And so basically I would have gotten them anyways, but I basically gave them to myself, like, a year or two early, which was great, because it really, like, getting a Elytra and Shulker boxes is what, like kept me going. Cause I like at some point, like I was kind of hitting a cap with the world. I'm not gonna lie. Like I still wanted to do some fun minecart stuff, but like it was feeling like, okay, the base is like kind of looking almost done in a way. I was gonna like tie it all together, build some buildings, call it a day. And then I got Elytra and Shulker boxes and it was like, okay, all bets are off. Like at this point, like building is now 10 times faster. I can kind of do anything.
The Nether in the end, that isn't super fly as well, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Cause like basically you could always get to the Nether because you could take the lava from the blacksmiths and the villages, and then you could take the water from the village well and eventually like construct a portal out of that.
It's not super flat, like the Nether is just a normal Nether.
Yes, it's like completely normal terrain. You could always get to the Nether, but you couldn't get to the end for years.
Do you think it could have been more fun if it still had everything, like the structure and the trees and stuff like that, but if it was built to be super flat?
I've seen like people do like modded versions or like data packs of that. And like it is fun, like, and a lot of people like think it should be that way or think that would be more fun, but like I've always been of the mind that like I'm very grateful it's not, because like it's my one place to experience like normal Minecraft gameplay loops. Like for example, at one point to build my Nether base, I just like dug a giant hole in my Nether and it was like so satisfying. Like that is one of the most fun parts of the game, is just like digging a giant hole. Everybody knows it, and that's like one aspect of like vanilla survival that like is really lacking in Superflat. You're like, usually there's no opportunity to just like dig a giant hole out, which is like, it's just so fun. It's like a pure part of Minecraft, you know what I mean? So yeah. I get to do that in the Nether. I get to like go to the end and like blast out my end island with TNT, you know what I mean? Like that was super fun. That's something that you get to do in the overworld normally, but I can't really do, you know what I mean? So I'm very grateful personally that it's normal generation in the Nether in the end, but I can see the argument that it would be like really fun to have it flat. I would be sad if they changed it, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I didn't have a build from that. I was just curious on everything.
No, it's a common question. It's a common question.
What is your, like, what are some of your, and if you've referenced some, that's completely fine. I just want to hear it kind of in the timestamp, but for the sake of timestamp here. What are some of your favorite moments from the Super Flat World?
Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be, like, in order. It doesn't have to be specific. It's just, like, when I said that, what are some of the things that have come to mind? Like, you might think of something after the podcast and not say it, but it's good. But just from your mind right now.
Like right away, I'm like just thinking about like the fireball wall in my world, or like the floating wither skulls. Like it's not even like a moment specifically, but more like a collection of moments, like having to do with them. Like that's just a really, really unique aspect of my world. If you haven't seen my world ever, for like people listening, long time ago, there was like a pretty obscure bug in the game where like if you fired off projectiles into unloaded chunks, they would kind of just get stuck there forever. You can't really punch them, but you can like interact with them with like pistons or water or like TNT. So they're like frozen entities basically. And my world is just like full of them. There's like a giant wall of fireballs from when I had like a little celebration to like say thanks for reaching, I think, 1,000 subscribers. So that's like a really fond memory, because it was like a celebration that turned into like one of the coolest bits of lore in my world. You know what I mean? So it's like double cool. And then like the Wither Skulls also kind of have like cool story, because I used to fight the Wither in my giant lava cast mountain, because I didn't want the Wither to like wreak havoc on my super flat world, right? So I would like fight him deep within this lava cast mountain, because it was the safest place. Like if I died, he wouldn't really get out and start like destroying everything.
Yeah.
So I named the mountain Withering Heights, and like I guess some of his like skulls that he shot just like glitched through the mountain. I like genuinely don't understand. They're just like scattered across my world in various places. And I like don't know how they got there. I think he got loose at one point, so maybe from that. I genuinely don't really know. But yeah, there's some just like really fun stuff like that.
What's one of the like silliest ways you've died in Superflat? Obviously you've died a lot of times now, but what's one of the ways you died where you're just like, wow.
I mean, like, did you say like serious or silliest?
Silliest.
Okay, because I was like, serious deaths are like either lava in the Nether or void in the end. That's when it's like, I'm not laughing. Because no, I just like, lost like actually hours and hours and hours of work.
If someone dies to like a witch trying a potion at them, like in a hardcore world, it's just a silly death. Or like Fielza died to a baby zombie. Like, you know, that's one way that you died on Superflat where you're just like, I shouldn't be dying like this on Superflat.
Oh god, I'm just always being an an idiot, dude. I'm just like constantly like not looking at my health bar or eating, or like I've gotten into some really, really dumb death loops in trial chambers. Maybe that's just like coming to mind because it's recent, you know, but like trial chambers are the one thing in my world where I do kind of have to fly a good distance to get back to them. So every time I die, like if I haven't set my bed in the trial chamber, it's like a 2,000 block trek back, and I just like have the entire flight back to just like think about how angry I am and how dumb I was for like repeatedly flying into the wall with my elytra, or just like getting splash potioned by a bogged, you know what I mean, and just like immediately dying. I just like, oh my god, I do some dumb stuff, man. But yeah, I would say like as long as I can get my stuff back, I'm chilling. But if I like lose like a shulker, like ever since I got shulker boxes, man, like it's dangerous. Like you never know, like you could have a shulker box full of like really good stuff on you, and if you go into the void or the or lava, like that is devastation. It is dangerous, man. Like you got to be careful about what you carry on you.
I've Minecraft updates have always been so interesting to me, because like how they just add stuff to a new an old version. For instance, like obviously you said you got to go so far for your like trial chambers, but it's so interesting how they've been able to add it to your already existing world from 13 years ago.
Yeah, it is like, and they're not even supposed to exist at all. Like the only reason I get trial chambers in Superflat is because I have a pre 1.18 world. The lore, I can go into the lore real quick. It is kind of interesting. All right, so basically what happened was in 1.18 they lowered the world height, and they ended up fiddling with how structures generate in the game. And previous to 1.18, there was literally like a line of code in Superflat Worlds that says like, okay, only spawn villages. Like that's the only structure that you should generate in Superflat. I don't know why they wrote it that way, but they did. And basically in 1.18, what they did for normal worlds was they, when they reduced the world height by 64, like they made it so you could go 64 blocks lower in addition to raising the world height. For normal worlds, they just took the bedrock layer, turned it into deep slate, and then generated new chunks, like new stuff below. That's how they handled old worlds normally. But they didn't want to do that for people's like creative super flat worlds. They figured that would like mess with them, right? So they just left them, which means that you can build 64 blocks under the bedrock in super flat if your world is older than 1.18.
Oh.
If it's newer than 1.18, your world generates at negative 64 instead, and you don't get any of those.
World on an old version and log into it on a new version.
Exactly. Like basically the way to jailbreak your Superflat world is you just boot up 1.17, click start new Superflat world. You can immediately log out. You don't even have to do anything. And then you just take that file, put it in the newest version, and you're good to go. And basically for some reason, when they did that update in 1.18.2 to structures, it just like bricked something. I don't super understand how the code works because I'm not a programmer, but it just like basically removes that barrier of like only generate villages in Superflat. So basically,
Then the trial chambers, do they spawn under the bedrock?
Kind of. So like what happened is they bricked the fact that only villagers are supposed to spawn in Superflat for both new and old worlds. But the difference is because the new worlds are so low in the world, you don't get any of those structures, because a lot of those structures have like boundaries within Y levels that they can spawn, if that makes sense. So you only end up getting villages in and I think maybe strongholds, because those can generate really low if your super flat world is post 1.18. but if it's pre 1.18, because your world is at zero instead of negative 64, there's more structures that you can get. So that includes the trial chambers, ruined portals, mine shafts, pillager outposts. Like you can get all of those things to spawn in my world. And trial chambers specifically, they spawn like halfway through the bedrock. It's really funny because if you think about where they are around in, that's where they appear in normal worlds, is around Y level zero. Yeah. So they spawn like literally half above, half below bedrock, which is really great because most trial chambers, I would say, have rooms that like actually break the bedrock a little bit. Same with like ruined portals. Ruined portals also usually break the bedrock a little bit when they generate, and that makes it really easy to get under there. And then you can kind of just fly under bedrock from trial chamber to trial chamber really easily, because they spawn almost as frequently as villages. Like they're pretty common. So you can just kind of go like trial chamber to trial chamber under bedrock and do a ton of looting that way. It's really fun.
So like I don't know if this is possible. out of curiosity, before this child chambers like thing, was there a way to get under the bedrock, or is this your way under the bedrock, like your only one?
You could, you like, so before they lowered the world height, you could always break the bedrock, but you just fall into the void. So I never did.
Wait, how did you bury the bedrock though?
There's a few methods. Like back in the day when I did it, you would like basically put a bunch of redstone down and like turn on like an auto clicker to like fast right click a lever or something like that, so fast, like you'd be pulsing the redstone so fast that like the entire game would lag. And while the game was like lagging, you can still move around and stuff. It's like it's not lagging in the way that like it makes it framey. It's like lagging in the way that like nothing can update. So it's like update suppression basically.
Okay.
And while the game was in that state, you could like break pistons in a certain way that they don't have like the head of the piston, which like shouldn't be possible usually, but it's only possible when the game is like lagging in that way. And then when the game stops lagging, the piston like freaks out and like tries to extend and it can't because it's facing the bedrock, and then it just like ends up deleting the bedrock block. That's the method I used back in the day. I think right now there's like big machines that use like falling entities or something. I'm not sure. Like I haven't really kept up with bedrock breaking techniques, but it's always a new meta. Like I remember way back in the day, there was like a way you could just like grow a tree and it would break bedrock. Like there's always a way.
That's so interesting though, like the evolution of it. And I absolutely love how like invested you are in it all. Like it's obviously, again, it's such a different thing to what people do. I've had SMP creators on, I've had events creators on, I've had speedrunners on, but I've never had someone on who, you know, like, well, super flat. So it's so cool to hear how invested you are in it. I love it so
much. It's so fun. Like there's just so many quirky little things about it. Like the only reason I can get glow berries is because they added mine shafts, and you can get the glow berries in the minecart chest. Like that is the only way I get them. Same with like the pillager outposts appearing. That's the only way I can get the alley, because they can sometimes be in the cages. So just weird little things, like just like people will see things I've built and like, how the heck did you get that? And sometimes it's like this really obscure mechanic, and it's like so fun to like explain that to people. Like even the way I got pumpkins originally, like now it's easier because I think Wandy T might sell them, and there's other ways I think to get them as well. But back in the day, the only way I could get them was by playing on Halloween and grinding mobs until one of them dropped a pumpkin. And back then you could take the jack-o'-lantern, because there wasn't a distinction between jack-o'-lanterns and pumpkins originally. They added the whole like shearing them thing later. So okay, back in the day you could take the jack-o'-lantern and craft it into pumpkin seeds and get renewable pumpkins. So that's how I originally got pumpkins in my world. Like just things like that, like it makes it very, very satisfying for me. I'm not gonna lie, like having to like know these niche game mechanics. And like for one really funny sidebar I can take right here is just like, for years and years and years, people thought I could get snow in super flat because they thought you could build high enough and get snow. That's like never been a thing in a plains biome in Java edition, at least. I think there's been like certain versions on like Xbox or like maybe Bedrock where like that was once possible or something, but like it's definitely not possible now, and hasn't been in Java ever. For years and years I had people telling me like, oh, just get snow that way. And it was like such a limitation for like certain farms that use snow golems and stuff like that. But finally, the trial chambers brought snow to me. The trial chambers were huge, I'm not gonna lie.
How does the trial chambers bring snow?
Oh, dude, they brought... Okay, so trial chambers have tough...
I don't really play Minecraft, so...
Yeah, no problem. No, so trial chambers were crazy, right? Because they have a little room with 12 blocks of deep slate. So that's the first time I've ever had deep slate. They have loot chests with amethyst. That's the first time I've ever had amethyst. They have loot chests with tough and then bamboo planks. So I still can't get bamboo, which means I can't get the whole, like, I can't get every single bamboo block, but I can get most of them because the planks are one of the loot chest items. So I can craft most of the stuff. And then like snow is in like the snowballs shoot out of the dispensers in one of the rooms. So you can grab the snowballs out of the dispenser, craft a couple snow blocks and get a snow golem. And then you've got infinite snow. Powder snow is in one of the rooms that I never had before either. That would have been impossible without trial chamber. There's literally like so much stuff. It's so dope. Because like also amethyst leads to like the spyglass. You can get like, what else can you do with amethyst? There's something else. Oh, the tinted glass. That's right. I never had access to tinted glass before. So yeah, Trial Chambers were another huge update. Like, I've been spoiled, dude, because for several years now, there's been like a steady flow of new stuff coming into Superflat. Like, not just new stuff in terms of like the new content that Mojang is adding in that update, but new stuff in terms of like old things that used to be impossible to get somehow finding their way into Superflat, like through some new mechanic like Piglin bartering or, you know, Wandy T trades changing, stuff like that.
I can't wait to see what you do with the new copper golems.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited about those because I don't really have a proper storage system that, like, I've been kind of lazy. Like, I've had my world for so long that, like, certain things I'm just kind of used to and I haven't upgraded in like 12 years. And, like, you know, technology in the Minecraft redstone scene has obviously quantum leaped since since I was like last doing a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, I have like a super outdated storage room. It'd be nice to like actually utilize the copper golems and stuff. I'm pretty pumped.
So we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I thought I'd ask regardless anyways. So, like, you know, around 3 years ago, that's when kind of your content started to pick up a little bit. And this is kind of tracking back to a previous conversation.
Yeah.
Was it because of COVID that you kind of locked in more? Like, I get two-part question here, because I'm just curious. First of all, what was your job, if you're happy to share it? Secondly, was it because of COVID why you locked in more on YouTube?
Yeah, I can sort of paint the scene. So, like, I graduated college, was working at a print shop in my college town. Girlfriend and I had a breakup. And I was already trying to, like, start doing videos again a little bit on the side. But girlfriend I was living with for a couple years and I had a really bad breakup. So I was like, okay. I was already thinking about moving out of state. Like, I wanted to see, like, I'd born and raised in Massachusetts, spent my whole life there. I'm 22. Like, I want to see something different, right? So I think I was, like, 24 when I finally made the move to Austin, Texas. Got a job as a graphic designer, doing like, basically I was like at a, like a canning company that did like alcoholic beverages mostly in cans. And I would like make sure that the designs would print correctly. And sometimes like they would need adjustments and I would do that sort of thing. It was like, it was fine. But I didn't get paid super duper well. So it was like very motivating to try to like make YouTube work. And yeah, like you kind of right. Like I did lock in a little bit during COVID. Like there was just nothing else to do. So I decided to like really commit to the YouTube thing, but it wasn't working. Like nothing. I was losing subscribers, I think. And I literally had not gained a subscriber in 7 years. I think you can look at my sub graph and there's a 7 year stretch where I go from like 5,600 subs to like 5,400 subs. Like I just in 7 years, like of uploading, lose 200 subscribers. So I got like during COVID also was a really tough time for me. So there was like a point where I was like, I need to quit doing this. It's like making me super depressed. I've been like, I should just like start a new channel or something. Like my channel might be dead. I don't know. I was like having a lot of second thoughts about it. I don't know why I kept going. I just sort of did. And then the world tour ended up working out. I guess like a big reason of why I kept going was just like I was talking about before, sort of the desperation to just not have a normal job. Like I was like, I just wanted to do YouTube so bad, dude. It's like, it's the only thing I ever wanted in my life. Like I wanted it so bad, man. Since the time I was like 11, before I even like thought about it, like as a job, I was just like, I want to be a YouTuber. Like,
that's what you wanted to achieve.
Yeah, that was all. I was like zeroed in on YouTube my whole life. Like, I think one thing is like anybody who's ever known me, like when I tell them that I'm doing YouTube now, they're like, oh, that makes sense. Like, because it's like all I talked about like my entire life. Like I was on YouTube from like 2006 onwards. And I was like always the kid who was like way too obsessed. Like I knew about, you know, Gangnam Style 2 days before all my friends, you know, that sort of thing. Like I was just like always like early on everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's how online I was at the time. Because like a lot of kids like didn't really have their own computers in like grade school and stuff like that. But my parents worked for like a tech company and they had like old work laptops and stuff that they would just like hand down to us when they were done with them. I kind of like always just had a computer and like unfettered internet access growing up, better or for worse. And probably for better because it like made me kind of way ahead of my classmates in terms of like computer competency. So yeah. I'm getting so sad. I'm just a yapper, dude. I could just yap. I don't even remember like what the lead in was at this point.
Locking in on COVID during COVID.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, 2.6 million.
I give you like the full backstory basically. But I like a lot of people ask like, so like you're kind of on the money in that I did lock in during COVID, but like it didn't pay off until like really tail end of COVID. Like a bunch of Minecraft YouTubers popped off like right at the beginning of 2022, which was like right as everything was like kind of opening up. So like the whole narrative of like, oh, everybody was stuck inside, like kind of, but like at that point things were kind of opening up when I finally made it. And yeah, like there's a lot of channels, like all of like the Lifesteal guys like were like right around that time or maybe like 6 months before. And then like there's like a bunch of Redstone guys, like Crafty Masterman, Purplers. Like there was like so many people who were like all at the same level at that time and then like had breakout success. It was like, I guess the very, very tail end of the pandemic.
And then, like I said, 2.6 million subscribers later.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy because like that's another misconception I hear about my channel. People are like, well, it was the shorts, right? And it was like, it, like kind of like I got to like, I want to say 450k really pretty fast, like in 2022 I went from like, I remember I had that 5k subs at the beginning of the year, right? Then I had that video do well, and I remember hitting 10k on Valentine's Day, and it was like a dream come true. I was so happy. And then I hit 100k a couple days before my birthday, so that was in June of 2022. And then I think by the end of the year I think I was like past 300k, which was insane. Like it just kept going. And then that was all on long form pretty much exclusively. And then that next year in 2023 in January, I was like, why don't I try out shorts? That seems like a fun experiment to do. And then that spring is when I had the sort of like challenged short of like every sub I get, I'll dig dirt. And then that ended up netting me like a million subs all said and done. But in that 1 week, I think like in 1 week, I jumped from like 500K to a million. Like it was like literally over the course of 7 days. And then ever since then, it's just been a steady, steady growth. The shorts have been really good for the channel, I think.
You did a nice steady mix, a nice even mix of the both.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There was a lot of fear on YouTube when shorts were first introduced about whether or not they hurt your long form videos. I think this fear still exists. And I think it's mostly been debunked at this point. I think might be valid.
A while, but it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it did in the beginning. It's hard to say. I think more so what people are recognizing is that if you grow a channel on shorts and then try and do long forms, it can be pretty tough because you've grown an audience that only watches your shorts. And then like shorts and long form are very different metas. So you might not have the tool set to make a good long form video. So I've watched a lot of creators struggle when they start with shorts and try to move into long form. But I've almost never seen it go wrong when a established creator who is already successful with long form starts doing shorts. I think it's basically universally a positive. Like I've never seen it. Like if anything, it's like neutral and it like doesn't really help, doesn't really hurt. But I like in most cases, I think when a long form creator starts doing shorts, it just helps, like full stop.
And then now, and, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I saw your name in this. I'm so sorry if I'm incorrect. Weren't you in Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, yeah. I was in both seasons. Oh, okay. It's kind of a meme because I was the first to die both times. Spoiler nice. Alert. I'm just going to say it because like it's not even a spoiler. Like my perspective is like so short. So the first season I died in the first 6 minutes, which was so fast that I only uploaded a short about it, which is why some people like might not even know I was in it the first season. And then in the second season, I did manage to last over an hour, I think. But yeah, edited it down, cutting out all the like gaps and boring parts. It was only like 10 minutes of like actual content. And yeah, I died before I even ran into anybody else because we kind of started split up. So got to wait till next year to try to redeem myself, I guess. I don't know. It's I'm not very good at the game. I will say that. If you couldn't tell from our conversation, I'm more of a creative mind than a competitive soul. You know what I mean?
But at least you showed up and that's all that matters.
Dude, I love all the people in that series so much. Like all the creators that we've done that with. So it's just a pleasure like organizing it and like being around. Like even just like we went and a lot of us signed posters together in VidCon. That was so fun. Like I'm just like I'm in it for the social aspect at the end of the day, more so than to try and like actually survive. But it would be nice to actually get a real series out of it next time instead of just having like one sad little episode. Oh.
You got this, I believe.
Thank you. I need some sort of training arc. I'm just not a really like a gamer like that. There's only a few games that I've ever felt like maybe competent at that are like skill-based, you know what I mean? Most of the time I'm just like expressing my creativity.
here for a fun time, not for a competitive time.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Like, not that I don't have, like, any competitiveness in me, but, like, I don't know. I just not the type of games I gravitate towards. I had, like, you know, like, it's funny. Like, the few games that I have enjoyed competitively, I've usually had, like, a creative aspect to draw me in. So, like, Halo 3, or, like, there was this game for the Xbox, Far Cry Instincts Predator. Both of them had, like, insane level editors. So, like, then I got, like, into doing, like, making the level to play on. And then, like, obviously, while I'm playing on my own level, like, now I want to be good at it. So, like, then I kind of, like, got interested in it through that, you know what I mean? But intrinsically, I just don't have that dog in me like some people do. Like, I'm just amazed by some of the people I've played with in, like, MCC. They just lock in, bro. Like, it's kind of wild. I don't have that in me.
I forgot you was in MCC. You play Minecraft events, yeah. I completely forgot.
Yeah, I've done a couple of them. Yeah, I'm, like, super, super tight with some of the people who organize it, and that helped, obviously. But another thing was just there's, like, only so many like LGBTQ creators in the space, and so I, like, got in through Pride originally, and then I think they just, you know, appreciated my POV or whatever, and so I got invited again. But that was my in, was through my MCC Pride entry.
Hey, look, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah, no, I'll take it. Like, I'm always down to represent. I don't actually, like, even talk about, like, any of that stuff on stream very often, so a lot of people are like, huh? Like, I have, like, the LGBTQ tag on my Twitch, and, like, people are just, like, always asking, like, why is that there? But yeah,
I saw a tweet pop up, like, a few weeks back. It's like, I just found out the mug swamp is any pronouns, and it's like, it's, you know,
it happens, like, a couple times a year, even though I've had any pronouns, like, on everything for, like, as long as, like, as far back as you can go. But yeah, I'm just like, I always say I'm like Ash Ketchum. I'm just trying to catch them all. I just want all the pronouns, dude. Give them all to me.
I've said this before, that, like, I'm very he him presenting. Like, there's not really any she her presenting.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
I go, like, by any pronouns too. I just don't have it anywhere. So if anyone goes like, oh, well, your pronouns, I'm like, I just, like, not in a rude way, I'm just like, I don't care. I don't really care what you call me.
That's pretty much where I'm at. Like, I kind of like being called, like, just other things that, like, spices up. But I get it. Like, most people just, like, always use he, him with me, and I'm super male presenting, so I completely understand. Like, I like, experimented with some cool, like, dress before, you know what I mean? Some, like, wild fashion in the past, but that's about as, like, adventurous as I've gotten.
I have a funny story as to why I go by any pronouns, actually. It's because I was walking down the street, and it's just this guy, like, being really weird, and he just called me trans mask, and I was like, cool. And after that, I was like, just, you know, like, what? I'm just a guy. I'm just a regular guy. But then after being called, like, trans mask, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll fuck with any pronouns. Why not?
It's like, that's like a funny, like, were they meaning it, like, in a negative way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's so crazy, because, like, you have to be, like, at least a little bit well-read, or, like, woke, quote-unquote woke, even, like, know that term. You know what I mean? Like, the real bigoted thing is just, like, to throw out, like, a slur.
Well, they didn't say like, they just called me trans, but regardless, like, considering I'm a man, I'm assuming they meant trans man, like,
got it.
To be, like, calling that, I mean, like, yeah.
That would be really, like, that's, like, kind of like a funny bit in a way, like a really, like, well-read woke, like,
well, like, a funny bigot origin story.
It is a great origin story. It's like your superhero origin story. I love it.
With that, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I can get into anything, dude. I'm just like,
well, have you got anything I'm always you wanted to bring up or that I haven't talked about? Do you thought I would?
Dude, I don't know. Like, it depends what the bounds of this podcast are. Like, I'm always, like, getting sidetracked with, like, politics on my stream and stuff.
Probably won't get into politics on the Minecraft podcast.
Exactly.
I'm
like,
happy to talk about other stuff, just not politics.
Yeah. That's fair.
Anything that you wanted to talk about? Or?
Hot takes. I mean, I think Mojang is, like, super, like, they're doing a really good job. I think, like, I wouldn't have said that a couple years ago, but I'm, like, I'm on board with what they are doing lately. I feel like it was, like, I want to say it was, like, 2 or 3 years back, I think they replaced a lot of their PR team, and that's kind of who creators interact with, is, like, the PR team, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, just like the direction the game's been heading and like the communication they've had. And like, I've had like really good opportunities, like the getting to go to the Minecraft experience or getting to go to the London premiere. So of course I'm going to say this, but like, yeah, I think they're killing it right now. I'm not going to lie. Cause like for a couple years, man, I could not understand what was going on with their PR, like the Firefly fiasco and just like really all of 1.19, like the whole 1.19 scandal of like the wild update falling so short and all that, and like just Caves of Cliffs dragging on. It felt like they weren't necessarily messing up in terms of the gameplay and the content, but like the communication was awful. Like it just felt like the community was constantly misunderstanding what was coming to the game. They were constantly like accidentally overhyping things and like people were just always upset. And yeah, so I guess my hot take is that like I think right now we're in a really good place. Like I think Mojang is like crushing it right now. And my prediction is that they're gonna like do a really big end update or something similar to that very, very soon, like within the next year. So I think we're eating good. I think people forget, like, not only was there the movie, which was like a critical success, like it beat Barbie. Like the Minecraft movie beat Barbie. That's insane.
Yeah.
But also, they've got a Netflix show coming, the animated one. Still don't know that much about it, but that's like gonna be like they're gonna be pushing that like crazy. You know what I mean? And so, and like we've already seen how the push from the movie has led to like all this new fun content with like the Happy Gas and stuff. They felt like it was an appropriate time to introduce all these features. I'm hoping like the show will do a similar thing. And like, I don't know. I just think we're on like the best track we've been on for the game in like a really long time. Like since like the era of like them putting on Minecons and stuff like that, when it felt like the community and the developers were on like really good terms with one another. I like, it is the best it's felt in a really long time from my POV. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I'm not going to lie and say I had this like massive in-depth chat about the game with them, but I had a chance to talk to Anthony. If you know who Anthony is from Mojang after MCC Live. And like, you know, like just talk to him about the direction of the game and stuff. Like, again, it wasn't like a crazy in-depth talk, so I'm not going to big it up to like sound cooler than it was. But yeah, no, just based on that, like things seem really, really cool. Obviously, they couldn't give me any much, if anything, because of, you know, Minecraft being Minecraft and stuff like that. But yeah, no, like based on how like confident he sounded and obviously based on everything that happened with MCC Live, and like my prediction is that there's going to be an Ender Cup 2 for MCC this year. They have two big announcements. The first one obviously being TwitchCon, Twitch Rivals, sorry. I'm assuming the second one has got to be something to do with like an official Minecraft collab, possibly an end update, like you said yourself. But yeah, I don't know. Like I think people, when they complain about the game, I don't think they're wrong to complain, because obviously everyone's going to be unhappy. But I think at the same time, people aren't as grateful as they should be for a game that you pay money for once and then get everything else for free. If we ignore the Minecraft marketplace existing. But Java Edition wise,
I really don't mind criticisms of the gameplay, to be honest. What really drives me crazy is like any sort of hysteria. And there's been a lot of like hysterical moments in the community. Like the original, like anytime they like touch the EULA. Anytime they like add like a little bit of moderation to make like parents happy, like people think the game is like actually getting nuked and that the world is ending, the wells are drying up, the locust swarms are upon us. Like, it's so annoying, dude. I can't lie, it drives me absolutely bonkers. Like, I don't know, man. I've already spoken my piece on this, but like a great example was like the lawsuit from like last year. People like, oh my god, this one guy like couldn't have guns on his Minecraft server. Like we have to bomb Mojang headquarters. Like that is the only solution. Like I don't know what is up with the community, but like I'm fine when people have gripes with the gameplay. I thought the Firefly thing was dumb. I think that they should revert the shelf change so that the items are in the middle. You know what I mean? But when people like freak out about like the most minor change to like how accounts work or like reporting someone on a multiplayer server and like they actually think it's the end of the world, it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely bonkers. It's just like pure hysteria. And I think part of it is like there's such a strong YouTube community and negativity works so well in the algorithm, and I do think certain creators like really pump the hysteria like crazy because it gets tons of clicks. And I don't know, I just hate that negativity. It drives me so nuts. I'm glad like we're in a more reasonable place place right now. I feel like a lot of that has died down a little bit because I feel like they're doing a little bit better of job communicating. But yeah.
Fair enough. Well, with that being said, then I believe we have a Twitter question. Let me just fact check myself here. We have a Twitter question, and then we'll do the outro here.
Okay, so, I'm ready.
You've kind of already answered this, actually. But now that I said we have a Twitter question, I have to ask you. This is from Jonah the Panda. What is the Minecraft update that had the best effect on your world? Also, I think sky blue would work really well as a possible hair color.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, my hair's kind of faded green right now. Blue would be much prettier, I think. Okay, we did sort of talk about some of the more important updates. Like, there was the original one that added villagers, like 1.2 or something. And then there was 1.14 for Wandy T.
And then Trial
Chambers. 1.18 for the structures, and then 1.21 for the Trial Chambers. I'd say those are, like, the big heavy hitters. If I had to pick just one for Jonah, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, Jonah, if I have to pick just one, it would probably be 1.18, just because I think, like, having all the structures, like, particularly, we started talking about a little bit, but, like, I cannot stress how much faster building with shulkers and elytra boxes, shulker boxes and elytras, I mixed it. It's so much faster. Like, it is, like, I think people, like, the reason people have built so much bigger in this game is because of those two items alone. Because, like, before I had that, it would be like, oh, I forgot a material, 10-minute walk back to the storage room, 10-minute walk back to the build again. Like, just having the giant inventory and being able to fly around that fast, it's such a game changer. So I think, yeah, 1.18 for the structures probably be the goat, the super flat goat. But 1.14, I mean, Wandy T is, like, such a close second, man, because they're like, I think there's got to be, like, I don't know, 50 plus items that come directly from him.
Fair enough. Sorry, with Twitter questions, I never really have a build because they're not my questions, you say. So
Yeah, I feel you.
Nice. Okay. Well, Mogswamp,
I mean, yeah, game mechanic stuff is pretty straightforward as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I've asked all my questions anyways, so, and this has been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. This is fun. I love yapping, if you couldn't tell.
No, there's always good to have a yap from, because, like, we can have a back and forth and a nice general conversation like we've had today. I know, I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I love talking as well, so.
Yeah, put in the comments your favorite part if you were listening, and I'll read the comments, see what you guys like to hear about.
I can also send you a screenshot of the Spotify comments, because Spotify has comments now, and there's one person who's always commenting.
Does it?
Yeah, there's one person.
I didn't know they added that. That's cool.
Who comments on every single podcast for the last, like,
that's
few
awesome.
Months. The 12 penguins. Dude, if you got onto this part, I'm calling you out. Dude, in a positive way.
I need to hear the 12 penguins take on this episode. Yeah.
But let's hear their takes on other episodes if you're curious. Well, I mean, like, they're not even, like, so on the Lukey podcast, they commented how dare Spotify not give me the notification. They commented on both the Inside the Videos, which I'll skip over. On the Derapture podcast, they randomly commented, Orbitz, did you eat the desks again? You have to stop doing that. It's not good for you. I don't really understand where that came
Got
from.
But so no guarantee that the Penguins comment is going to be even related to the podcast. That's fair.
No, yeah, like, you know, there was one.
Could just be about, like, what sandwich he had that day.
Yeah, like, 2 months ago, are you at VidCon? Just, like, had no, like, another one, they commented, do you think that you could try Geometry Dash? Like, yeah, for the most part, they don't really have any relevance to the podcast at all, but I'll let you know what they say anyways.
They have no agenda. They have no agenda at all. Penguins is a free agent, and I respect that. I respect them for that.
they're just there. It's great.
Well, I love it.
Before I do the outro here, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who's listened this far and hasn't somehow heard of you, where can people find you?
I am Mogswamp on absolutely everything. There has not been a website that I haven't been able to get the @Mogswamp on yet. So you just search that up wherever you want to find me. I'll be there. But if I'm going to promote one thing, check out my side channel, More Swamp. I'm really like trying to give that an honest try this year, trying to build it up.
There we go. See? Go support Mogswamp. They make great content. They make original content, like I mentioned in the intro. An all-round very nice person. That's it.
Thank you.
No worries. Well, with that being said, this has been Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peace.
Peace.